Yana.
Are we on now?
Echo.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tonight's lesson is very important, and I'm sure you will sense the preparation that some of you have gathered together. There's a difference even when we gather here tonight, because tonight the Holy Spirit wants to impart. He does not just want to teach, He wants to impart into your life the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what gifts He will impart to you, but it's according to His will. I believe tonight the Holy Spirit is going to impart upon your life gifts according to His purposes. Before we understand and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have to be taught what the gifts are about. That's why we are lesson 8. It's actually a foundation series in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant." Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant or unlearned or untaught regarding the things of the Spirit. Now, unless we are taught about the things of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, how it becomes, what the gift does, we will not be able to operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's just as if you do not understand the baptism in the Spirit, what it covers, we will never move into the baptism in the Spirit in our lives. We do not receive because we do not hear, and we do not hear because we are not taught. So Paul told the Corinthians that I do not wish that you be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And there is a classification of a group of people in 1 Corinthians 14. He said the unlearned. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When he was discussing the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in verse 23, "Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed," or unbelievers. Now, the unbelievers, we know who they are. But the uninformed, who are they? They are those who are ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and its operation. Those who are not taught. The reason why we have this lesson is because we need to be taught the gifts of the Holy Spirit and its operation. What the gifts cover. This is lesson 8. Next week we'll talk about the ministry gifts and focus more on it. This week we talk mainly on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and relate a little bit to the ministry gifts. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a listing of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Looking at verse 9 onwards, let's read from, I believe we'll read further up in verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." There are diversities of gifts. That refers to the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Diversities, 9 of them. Verse 4 refers to the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord." Differences of ministries. That refers to the 5-fold ministry, as well as to the other 9 body ministries. We have listed that in your notes. There are differences of ministry. A ministry is different from a gift. A ministry in a general sense is also a gift from God, but in a specific sense, it's more an office than a spiritual gift. Then in verse 6, "And there are diversities of activities or operations, and it is the same God who works all in all." Notice this. Holy Spirit mentioned in verse 4, Jesus mentioned in verse 5, and the Father God mentioned in verse 6. So we have the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father. The Holy Spirit manifests the 9 gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ manifests the 5-fold ministry and all the other 9 body ministries, and the Father God manifests the operation of the whole thing. That covers both the operation of the ministry gifts and the operation of the spiritual gift. I call the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit the spiritual gifts, and the ministry gifts of the Lord Jesus called the ascension gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 and 12, it says that when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. That is ministry gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we also will find the 9 body ministries listed in Romans chapter 12. There is a difference between the operation of them. There's a difference between an operation of the word of knowledge or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we are going to touch on. Let me just give you the listing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit first. Here it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each man for the profit of all. Every one of you have received a spiritual gift. It needs to be stirred up. You need to understand what your spiritual gift is, how it operates in your life, and stir the spiritual gift in your life. None of you are without a spiritual gift. It says everyone is given a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit is doing something in your life. I said that if you don't realize what He is doing, you won't be able to operate in it. And it goes on to say, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. We see the listing here of 9 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All 9. Now we are going to divide all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in a different manner than what is presented here in the scripture. All the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit can be divided into 3 categories. The first category is called the revelation gift. The second category is called the power gift. And the third is called the vocal gift. The revelation gifts reveal something. That is why they are called revelation gifts. The power gifts do something. It does a work. Therefore, it is called power gifts. It demonstrates the power of God. And the vocal gifts say something. That's why it is called vocal. There are 3 main categories of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in the first category called the revelation gift, we have number 1, the word of wisdom, and number 2, the word of knowledge, and number 3, discerning of spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. Now the word of wisdom is different from wisdom, just normal wisdom. The word of knowledge is different from spiritual knowledge. Discerning of spirit is different from spiritual discernment. The Bible talks about how we all can increase in wisdom. Philippians 1, Paul prayed for the Philippian church that they will be filled with wisdom. He prayed in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, that the Ephesian church will receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. James chapter 1 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. King Solomon asked and prayed to God, God, give me wisdom. Now the wisdom he received was not the word of wisdom. The Bible does not call this the gift of wisdom. It calls this, if you want to call it a gift, the gift of the word of wisdom. In other words, it's a part of wisdom that is given to you. It is different from the normal wisdom that you receive by prayer and by spiritual growth. In a general sense, everything you receive is a general gift of God. But specifically speaking, wisdom, spiritual wisdom, is developed through prayer and through the word of God. And through growing spiritually, we grow in wisdom. But not everyone will have the gift where God will use you in a language, to, in a spiritual language, to speak to man in a gift of tongues. We can grow in development of praying in tongues as we learn. It comes as a part of our Christian life, but it's different from the gift of speaking in tongues that is towards man, a ministry. In the same way, wisdom is different from the word of wisdom. It is different in how it comes and how it operates. The word of wisdom comes instantly. And God doesn't reveal everything to you. He reveals just a word. I have given single sentence definition of each gift. So let me give single sentence definition. The word of wisdom, or the gift of the word of wisdom, is a revelation of God given to us about things in the future. The revelation of God given to us about facts in the future. Things are going to happen in the future. He doesn't reveal everything, but he reveals just sufficient. It is a word. A word is a part of a sentence. And so he gives a word of wisdom. Just a little bit of revelation he gives us about the future, things to come. That is a word of wisdom. In Acts chapter 11, Agabus the prophet, you can turn to that in Acts chapter 11, Agabus the prophet receives a word of wisdom. See, a word of wisdom will lead God's people to act in wisdom, in preparation. Acts chapter 11, Agabus the prophet signified by the Spirit of things to come in verse 28. Then one of them, there were many prophets, but one of the prophets named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So Agabus the prophet predicted. The word of wisdom, in a sense, is a prediction. It is a speaking of things that is to come. Future things, future facts. That is a word of wisdom. God doesn't reveal everything, but he reveals something. And when he reveals about the future, that is the word of wisdom. All the Old Testament prophets function a lot in the word of wisdom. When prophet and King David was singing his psalm, by the word of wisdom he began prophesying about things that are going to happen at the cross in Psalm 22. Isaiah the prophet, as he began to prophesy, he began to speak about things that is to come, about Jesus in Isaiah 53. Then there is no way he could receive that knowledge. But by the word of wisdom, he prophesied specifically what is to happen to Jesus in Isaiah 53. Many years, thousands of years before it happened, Isaiah prophesied. So that shows us that what the word of wisdom does. It reveals things that are in the future. The word of wisdom is not like wisdom. Now, wisdom does this. Wisdom is just the knowledge to conduct the affairs of this life. It is also spiritual. It's called spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom enables you to conduct your life properly on this earth and enables you to understand and comprehend a lot of things. Like King Solomon, he received spiritual wisdom. He received a gift of wisdom, not a word of wisdom. He received a gift of wisdom, and through the gift of wisdom, the Bible records for us, he became a great biologist. He became a great botanist. He studied plants. He studied man. He became a great socialist. He became a great man in all these areas. He said that he had more wisdom than all the wise men in those days. So what he received was not the word of wisdom, but what he received was a gift of wisdom. He understood a lot of things. You know, like Ecclesiastes, written by him. It talks about how he searched in everything. But you notice, Solomon did not prophesy about the things to come. No record. No record of Solomon prophesying about the things to come. But his wisdom was his understanding of the things around him. The plants, the animals, and all these things around him. He could understand it with a greater capacity because of the gift of wisdom from God. You must understand, people confuse between the two. They confuse between the word of wisdom and spiritual wisdom. We can all grow in spiritual wisdom. This year you will have more spiritual wisdom if you have grown than last year. Next year you shall have more spiritual wisdom than this year if you continue to grow. You can continue to pray, Ephesians chapter 1, the prayer, to grow in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But there is wisdom that comes by growth. It is different from a gift. It drops down on you without effort. Just as the gift of God by His grace, all your only effort is surrender and the wisdom comes upon you. Agabus did not do great studies. Agabus did not do a study of social trends and the wind systems and the climatical changes. No, Agabus never did that. All he did was he heard from the Holy Spirit that says a famine is coming. That was a word of wisdom, a prediction of things to come, a knowing, a knowledge of things to come, future knowledge, a word of wisdom. Then we have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a revelation of things past and present. A word of knowledge reveals, also reveals, but it reveals the past and it reveals the present. Like for example, Peter in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias came before him giving that offering, actually he cheated and it was not the whole offering, and he said it was the whole offering. He received a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit in Acts 5, and he says, Ananias, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? Now what Peter had was he received a word of knowledge about what Ananias did. It was something in their past. It is a word of knowledge. Or like Nathan, he came to David. God revealed to Nathan that David had sinned and committed adultery. Nobody knew, it was secret. But God saw. He sent the prophet Nathan, and Nathan told a parable, and in the end he said, that man was you. And say that you have committed sin. Nobody knew, but Nathan received a word of knowledge from the Lord. In the same way, Elisha received a word of knowledge about Gehazi, his servant. When Naaman was healed and was going off, Gehazi ran after him to ask for clothing and treasures. And after he received that, when he came back, he had hidden it and he came, Elisha said, my spirit went with you. I saw what you did. He received a word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge is a revelation of things past or things present. When the word of knowledge operates in healing, it could reveal a person's condition, what they are suffering from. That is a word of knowledge. In the present, what a person is going through. For example, like you could be right here, and God could reveal to you of what is happening in another place. Happening right now. That would be a word of knowledge. If it's a revelation of present things and past things, then it is classified under the word of knowledge. That is different from growing in spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge comes by growth. It is not a gift. It is more a growth. Spiritual knowledge would just mean more understanding that we gather from time to spending time with God and to the knowledge of His Word. So understand the difference. People confuse the two always. And then we come to discerning of spirit. When you look at discerning of spirit, it is different from discernment. Some people say, I have the discerning of spirit. They say, what is that, brother? Well, I can tell whether people have demons. That is not necessary the only thing that the discerning of spirit does. Notice it did not say in 1 Corinthians 12, discerning of evil spirits. It did not say that. It just said discerning of spirit. That's all. It is not just a gift of looking for demons under every chair, under every rock. If there's a guy like that now, he better look under his chair, maybe there's a demon under his chair now. No, there is no such gift. It is different from discernment. Some people say, I have the gift of discernment. But the way they talk, actually they are very hypercritical. It is not a gift of discernment, discerning of spirits that they have. What they have is a critical attitude. They do not have the gift of the Holy Spirit. They have the gift of a critical spirit. And they call it discernment. They pick up the faults in people's lives and say, oh, I know, I discern this guy is a crook. I discern this guy is a chef. Etc. And so they go about discerning. No, it is not discerning of human spirit, necessarily. Notice it says discerning of spirit. Spirit beings. Now the spirit beings could be angels, Jesus himself, for God is a spirit. Or it could be demonic spirit. But if you function in discerning of spirit, it will not be lopsided. In other words, you won't be just seeing the negative side. There's something wrong with you if you do. The gift of discerning of spirits is actually the gift of seeing into the spirit world. That's all that is. It's a gift of seeing into the spirit world. You could see angels, you could see demons. It doesn't happen all the time. Remember, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and discerning of spirit doesn't happen all the time. In other words, these are gifts of the Holy Spirit and they manifest as the spirit will. Imagine what you would like to walk around with someone with the word of knowledge functioning all the time. Dangerous guy. The word of wisdom. Then you won't need to exercise faith. Neither do we walk about seeing angels and demons all the time. There's no such thing. God only reveals in accordance to his will. The spirit manifests as he wills. The rest of the time he wants you to operate by faith. He does not want you to operate just by the gifts, he wants you to operate by faith. So discerning of spirits is the ability given by the spirit to see into the spirit realm at a certain time. You could see into the spirit realm, see angels, see Jesus, talk with Jesus, or you could see demonic spirits. It is not the gift of discernment. It is not discernment, it's discerning of spirit. Discernment is mentioned in Philippians 1. Okay, look at Philippians 1. Verse 9. And this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Now that is discernment. It comes by spiritual growth. You can pray to grow in discernment. And if you grow more and more in discernment, you won't be cheated. People cannot fool you. And those wicked ones cannot deceive you and beguile you. Discernment is an important factor in a Christian life. We all need discernment, but it's different from the gift of discerning of spirit. Discernment has to do with the affairs of this life. It has to do with knowing right and wrong. Notice in Hebrews chapter 5, it says that those who have grown spiritually, in Hebrews chapter 5, have their senses trained. In Hebrews 5, verse 14. 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. Discernment is to discern good and evil. Notice the difference. Discernment is to discern good and evil. As you train yourself in your walk with Christ, you are able to discern right and wrong more accurately. But that is not, it is not the gift of the Holy Spirit called discerning of spirit. But you will have a lot of books in the market, in Christian circles, that confuse discernment with discerning. They confuse discernment and discerning of right and wrong, evil and good, with discerning of spirit. Didn't it mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there is discerning of spirit? Look very carefully. We're not making this up. It's in your Bible. It's all these small little words that people make. 1 Corinthians 12, that gift there is mentioned as a gift of discerning of spirit. Plural. That is listed there for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And that's the one that is mentioned in verse 10. To another, discerning of spirit. Now that is different from Hebrews 5:14. It's discern right and wrong, good and evil. Please differentiate between the two. Otherwise you won't know when you function under the anointing of God. See, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate, it does not operate all the time. It operates as the spirit wheel. Now when the spirit does not will to operate, then I go on this side. I move by faith and by my spiritual knowledge and experience. So you can't minister without the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't minister because you've grown in God. You've grown in wisdom. You've grown in knowledge. You've grown in discernment. You can also minister. But God has a reason. He wants to manifest His presence. There's the difference. When the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit manifest, there's always an anointing. An anointing upon. But over on this side, when it's just normal wisdom, normal knowledge, and normal discernment, it is not functioning on the anointing, it's functioning by faith with experience from your Christian life. It is as effective. Don't run down this side. We need to learn to move both in anointing and in faith. Because if we don't learn to move in both, we will become lopsided. Just like a bird with only one wing. Do you know a bird with one wing where the bird can go? In circles. Some people, they move, they want to move only in this side, and they never develop on the anointing. So it's like a bird with one wing. All they go is in circles. On the other side, if all you want to do is move in the anointing, you're also like a bird, but you go the other way around. On the other wing, we need both wings to fly into the realm of God. So then we have covered Revelation gift. Now, having covered these three, I'm able to touch on the difference between operation of the gift. Here's what we're going to share on. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the first few verses we read, it says, there are diversities of gifts in verse 4 by the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries by the same Lord. There are diversities of operation or activities by the same Spirit. What is it talking about when it talks about differences of activity and operation? Now let's apply that to a single gift. For example, let's apply that to the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, that same gift of the Holy Spirit, can operate in many operations.
The word of wisdom could come unto me by a vision. I could see a vision of a land that is parched and dry without rain, and then like Agabus, I could say a famine is coming. See, I could receive a word of wisdom by the operation of vision. Or I could receive a word of wisdom by a dream. I could be sleeping, and in the sleep I could be seeing that the vision of a parched land and famine coming and people in hunger and thirst, and I wake up knowing that there's a famine coming. So I receive the same word of wisdom about a famine coming by a different operation, by a dream. Or I could receive the word of wisdom, the same word of wisdom, by hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit. Just like in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, while the disciples were praying, it says, they did not mention they saw a vision or anything, but it did mention the Holy Spirit says. So I could just hear the Holy Spirit say to my spirit, say, there is a famine coming in 5 years' time, and this will be the extent of the famine, etc., 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 in detail. I could receive a word of wisdom about the same famine by my spiritual ears. It is the same prophecy, it's the same prediction, but it comes in three different ways. That is what we mean by operation. There are diversities of operation. And the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, of many kinds of operations. You say even discerning of spirits, yes, because there are three types of vision: open vision, closed vision, and spiritual vision. So discerning of spirits can operate in either of these visions. And that doesn't even include dream, which is called the vision of the night. So there are many operations of the same gift. It's wonderful to know that there are so many operations of the same gift. Many operations. So God has not finished the ways of operation. He could invent new ones. He really could. Believe me, He really could. He never runs out of ideas. God can invent new operations that we may never have heard before. I heard of one fellow discerning by smell. So one day there was this evangelist, we were walking after a meeting long ago in Binang, and we were walking to have a bite at night after the meeting. So we were walking outside the store, we passed by a man, the fellow said, I said, what happened? He said, I smell a homosexual demon. I said, well, you got a very interesting note. So, well, he had a spiritual note. And so, I asked the brother, I said, do you only smell demons? Because I'm interested to know whether his nose only functions on the negative side. So subsequently, I found that he was quite balanced, because he also could smell the fragrance of the Lord. He went to a place, he said, the Lord is here. So that's not too bad. If you are one of those folks who go by smell, then I would say, you know, take care, doggy. So, that is your special development. You are God's hound dog. Praise God. So there are many new ways. God is not limited by us. There are many new ways. I believe it was Captain Kuman who started the operation of the word of knowledge for healing. See, God invented a new way of healing by the word of knowledge. He's the one who sort of made a breakthrough in that area. It was through a ministry that people realized, hey, the word of knowledge could also heal. So there's no end. In this last days, if you understand that there are many operations of the same gift of the Holy Spirit, then keep an open eye and an open heart. Your unique operation could be unique. Nobody can copy the other. We are all different as our thumbprint. All different as our thumbprint. In fact, there are so many parts of our being that are so different. So different that God spiritually also has many diverse operations in our lives. It's the Father's God method. Then we go to the power gifts. Power gifts also are three. And the first is called the gift of faith. The gift of faith is the ability given by God, the ability imparted by God to receive a miracle. And the gift of faith can also operate up upon receiving, you begin to speak it forth. Example, when Daniel was in the lion's den, by the gift of faith, he received deliverance. He went through the lion's den, but he went through unharmed. And we have to compare it to the working of miracles. The second gift under the power gift is the working of miracles. The working of miracles is exactly what it says. It does a miracle. Now, this is my definition. It is the ability imparted by God to work a miracle. Whereas the gift of faith is the ability imparted by God to receive a miracle. So the gift of faith is greater than the working of miracles because it is resting while you're working a miracle. While the working of miracles takes effort and cooperation. So Jesus, by the gift of faith, walked on water. Nothing to do but walk. No effort. See, many people always wonder how the walking on water, whether it's the working of miracles or the gift of faith, I will classify under the gift of faith. Because he just received and he walked normally. That's the gift of faith operating in his life. It is a supernatural infusion of the ability of God. And he just walked. And it's the same gift of faith that will help a person to be translated from one point to the other point. When Philip was wrenched from one point to another, that was by the gift of faith. The gift of faith. See, it has to do with faith. Translation has to do with faith. Rapture has to do with faith. Remember Enoch, he says, he walked with God and he was not. The Bible says he has a testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And in Hebrews 11, it tells us that Enoch was raptured by faith. Faith. When Philip was carried from one point to the other, it was done by the gift of faith. All you have to do is suddenly you just receive the infusion of power and zap, there you go. If you be carried from here to Siberia, preach there, and then come back. And have the Siberian Saul on your sand, on your shoe. Without a passport, without all the traffic, visa problems, etc. That's the translation. And that's the operation of the gift of faith to work, to receive a miracle. And it's also by the gift of faith that demons are cast out under the anointing. See, it's the gift of faith operating. Under the operation of the gift of faith, demons come out. We always wonder casting out demons under which one? Well, it's usually classified under the gift of faith. The gift of faith covers the supernatural speaking also. Having received, you talk of it as it is. Just like Daniel, when he went in, he was confident. And he spoke about his God. By the gift of faith, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were preserved from the fire. Now that has to be a miracle. It is a miracle. Would you admit that that's a miracle? It is a miracle. And not only did they go in unharmed, see, Nebuchadnezzar was so mad that he said, heat the furnace 10 times. hotter than before. And it was so hot that he called the best soldiers he had, the biggest soldiers he had, and they marched the three prisoners into the furnace. The moment they opened the door, those prisoners and escorts died. It was so hot. It's in the book of Daniel. They died on the spot. They were burned. And those three guys went inside, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know what they were doing inside? They were worshipping the Lord. Tradition has a record for us of that song. You know, you have a little record of that in the Apocrypha. It's called the Song of the Tree. And they sang, and they worshipped God inside. The miracle was that when they come out, while they were inside, Nebuchadnezzar was looking and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4. That cannot be. God inside. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's something wrong. He says, butler, bring my glasses. And he said, 1, 2, 3, 4. There are four. And he says the fourth one is like the Son of God. There were four inside. And in the end, they call it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. And when they come out, the ropes by which they were tied to was gone. It was burnt, disappeared. But their skin, their hair, even their hair was untouched. I'm sure some of you know what it's like when you face a hot flame. Your eyebrows are the first to disappear. Then you have to be like some of these dear ladies and draw all the nice eyes. So, when they came out, they still had their eyebrows, and if they had any beard, their beard was intact. Nobody wanted to shave with a fire. So, everything was intact. And the most marvelous thing, when they came out, the smell of fire and smoke was not even on them. When those guys came out, I mean, those soldiers would look around, who is this three guys? Said that, Mr. Abednego. And one of the guys must have come here and say, see, no smell, no smoke. Do you know that if you travel by public conveyance and a public transport, long ago I used to travel train up and down, Penang, KL, used to travel by train. You know, you come out of the train, you got train smell on you. You really do. You don't believe me, you go and try it. You have a train smell on you. And even a public transport, you come up with all the dirt on you, you have a certain smell on you. They came up from that kind of environment of fire, and there was not even the smell on them. We will have to call that a miracle. How was the miracle done? The gift of faith. Notice they spoke and said that we will not bow to you. See, they spoke boldly. The gift of faith helps you to speak boldly. And the gift of faith was what operated when the anointing was flowing from Paul's life and he was calling about special miracles, his special faith. And the anointing came on a handkerchief, the anointing came on an apron, and demons left without any command. See, when you cast out demons by the anointing, it's very easy. Very easy. And in Jesus' time, he cast out demons with one word. Look at Luke chapter 4. That was the operation of the gift of faith in his life. Luke chapter 4. In verse 40, it says, now when the sun was setting, all those who anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. The same incident, cross-reference to Matthew chapter 8. Same place, Jesus' mother-in-law. Gospel of Matthew, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirit with how many words? What is your Bible? a word and heal all who were sick. Now, how many cities did he cast out with one word? Many. You see, I read Luke 4 earlier. It says many. There were so many from all over the place. And there could be hundreds of them healing Peter's mother-in-law's house. I don't know what Peter was thinking. I don't know what the mother-in-law was thinking. But there was everyone filling the place, and they were demon-possessed. All the spirits that were there, it says he cast them out with a word. In one word, I don't know what word he used. He could have used like Jivanadan. Boom! All of them, man. You know that word, Paul? I was with Jivanadan in Bukit Mulajam long ago, and that was when I first met him, and he was ministering in that little outreach there. And every time he comes across a demon, you know, he always grabs the person on the head. If it's a hair of a lady, he will grab the long ponytail, twist it this way, and say, Paul! So I don't understand Indian and Tamil, and I say, after the ministry, I say, hey, you got a special word. They always, he always say, Paul! And then something happens. I say, what is that? Is that your breath? What does that mean? Why do you do Paul like that? I say, is that the way you release your faith? Just that some people say, so you say, Paul! Then he began to explain that Paul means out in a rude way in Tamil. You know what? Okay. And so, Jesus used one word. I don't know what word he used. I don't know what word he used. He could say, you know, in the Greek or whatever, out. And so, he just used one word and all the demon-possessed fellows were set free. That is under the anointing, the gift of faith. So today, people don't understand his ministry. They take 1,000 words, it cuts out the smallest demon. Opposite. What a comparison to our Lord Jesus. The gift of faith is the ability given by God to receive a miracle. Daniel, by the gift of faith, was delivered from the lion. And Samson, by the working of miracles, got hold of a lion. All the scripture references are given to you in your notes. And he tore the lion apart. You all remember that story? A young lion came and roared against him while he was on his way somewhere. And he got hold of the lion and he tore the lion into 2 pieces. Now he faced a lion, but Samson was operating under the anointing, the working of miracles. The working of miracles has to do something. He has to do something to bring about that miracle. Something has to be done. And every time there's an action followed by a miracle, that is usually a working of a miracle. Example, when Jesus turned the water into wine, that was a working of miracles because it required an action. And when Elisha took salt and threw into the water and made the water good water, that was a working of miracle. Remember, the water was bad. And he took salt and he threw it into the water, and the water became good. So that was a working of miracle. And when Elisha took flour and poured into the poison food and said, all right, eat, that was a working of miracle because they did something. So an action is done. The difference is they need an action. They need to work something. Jesus, to feed the 5,000, worked a miracle by asking for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He asked, what do you have? So they found 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He has something to start with. That is a working of miracles. Now let's compare Samson and Daniel. They both faced lions but using different gifts. Samson, with his supernatural strength, grabbed hold of the lion and tore it apart. Wow. That was an experience. But Daniel, he had more than one lion. he had many lions, and they, you can be sure they were hungry. They had not had their dinner or lunch. When he went inside there, somehow the protection of God was there. And so he had one lion for his pillow, one lion for his bolster, one lion for his blanket. And he received a miracle that way. Now you see the difference, the gift of prayer. His miracle is very easy. He just slept through the miracle. At night he feel cold, he just hug the lion. You have authentic, practical lion fur. None of you have slept with lion fur before. He had the real stuff, and he was still alive. That was the difference between the two gifts operating. Then we have the next power gift. And the next power gift is called the gift of healing. The gift of healing, you will notice, is plural. Gift and healing. There are three reasons why it's plural. I give three reasons why it's plural. The gift of healing. Am I not right? It's mentioned as plural. If your translation is accurate to the Greek, you should put gift of healing. Instead of putting gift of healing, or gift of healing, it puts gift of healing. Why is that? Three reasons I give to you. Because there are two main areas of a human being's area. That's the first reason, number one. Man's soul needs to be healed. Man's body needs to be healed. I believe in inner healing because Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus performed inner healing, I believe, when he told that man who was let down from the roof, "Son, thy sins are forgiven." He healed the man's soul of guilt feeling. I do not believe that your spirit can be healed because your spirit needs to be born again. It needs to be changed, not healed. See, we need a new spirit. God doesn't just fetch up your old spirit and say, "Alright, good boy, just go ahead." No, he gives you a new spirit. But your soul is still the same. And your soul can contain a lot of stuff that needs healing and touch. It could contain a lot of scars, even more scars than your body may have. Words from the past spoken about you could have penetrated through your soul and cut your soul. And until now you are walking in unforgiveness, hatred, jealousy and strife. You need inner healing. So the first reason why it's plural is because there is soul healing and body healing. So some people could have an anointing for soul healing more than inner body healing. So you must know where your gifts lie. You must understand what these gifts are to draw the anointing and function in them. The second reason for the word plurality of the gift of healing is because there are many different types of causes of bodily sicknesses. There is demonic cause, there is organic cause, and there is bacteria, or what I call bacteria, virus, invasion of the body. Say microscopic causes. So, demonic cause, where a person's body is sick because they could have a demon clinging to them. For example, someone could have, like the woman with the infirmity. She may have a little monkey or what, monkey-like demon climbing on her back. And so remember Jesus had to heal her back. Jesus said there was a spirit of infirmity on her. So her back, on her back, on the outside of her body, she could have a little spirit clinging onto her. Maybe it was an overweight spirit, so she was going this way. No wonder she was infirm. Because that was the overweight spirit on her.
And Jesus did not cast out the demon. Jesus just said, "Woman, thou art loose." He gave her a gift of healing. Straight away, the infirm spirit that was sitting on her back, you know, must have felt the oil of the Holy Spirit coming, and it was too slippery to cling onto the woman. It just whoop, and then the woman said, "I'm free." Don't know what happened to the infirm spirit after that. He went to cling onto somebody else. So it could be demonically caused. And demon spirit, there are certain types of demon spirits that causes sicknesses. Not all kinds. There are certain demons. They cling to the bodily organs and cause the bodily organs to stop functioning. Like spirits of blindness, they cling to the eyeballs. And cancer is also a spirit. There are many types of cancer. There is a type of cancer that is caused by a spirit. There's a type of cancer that is caused by natural causes, like stress and diet. So you must discern. It's not just one type. And there are many types of epilepsy. So people who keep on saying, every time epilepsy, they say, "You demon, come out!" You know, they didn't realize that there are a lot of causes of epilepsy, not just demonic. Just like we all realize that a blind person could be caused by a spirit of blindness, or could be because a person had an accident and something cut the cornea or the eye and the person was blind. No demon involved. So in the same way, epilepsy or cancer, there are many causes. But there is also a spirit of cancer, I want you to know. Not all cancer is caused by that spirit, because some cancers are caused by stress. A life of stress has a way of breaking down your body cells. If you do not know that, it has a, people have linked stress to cancer. And they have also linked cancer with the diet. There's a Baptist minister who has traced cancer and the cause of cancer to the diet of eating swine. He found that the worm trichinosis have caused symptoms that are similar to cancer. He himself, he wrote a book. He was dying of cancer, given 6 months to live. Dying, no more cure. He followed the diet. He was healed. Today he's so healthy that he doesn't even have a cold. So there are many causes, but there is a spirit of cancer. And if there is a spirit of cancer, we need to curse the spirit and command that spirit to leave. It clings to the body. It can cling to the eardrums and cause deafness. So there are certain spirits that causes sicknesses. So the second reason is there are spiritual causes of sickness. There are many causes of sicknesses. Spiritual causes, demonic causes. And it could be organic causes. For example, thalamide babies. The mothers of those babies have taken chemicals. And in those days, they didn't realize the danger. And so those chemicals have an effect on the child that was in their womb. And it caused the organs in the child not to be formed. So the child is born without eyes, without legs, etc. Or something defect on their body, a defective heart, defective organs. So the child comes out organically caused. So organically caused could be also by accident. A person gets into an accident and their heart gets injured, their lung gets injured, their bodies get injured. After that, the healing was not complete, and they go about with the infirmity all their life. So there are many organic causes also. Many organic causes. Some people get sicknesses because of exposure to radiation. New causes today. So we classify all the physical and chemical causes under organic causes. Organic causes. All birth defects and sicknesses that pass through birth are either demonic or chemical and physical. Not all are demonic. Don't oversimplify it and then become judgmental on a kid. So there are all these causes. And the third causes of sicknesses are caused by bacteria or virus invasion, which we all know that sometimes there are these bacteria floating around, viruses floating around, and they could transmit from one person to another. And if you walk with God and know the other lessons, the law of health, then you know how it cannot cling to you. If you live the lifestyle of God, the Bible lifestyle, when they touch you, they die. And they do get sick. So that's the second reason why it's called gift of healing. Second reason. these are the, because there are many organic causes of sickness. There are many causes, organic, demonic, and microscopic invasion. The third reason for the gifts of healing, why is plural is this? Some people seem to receive a stronger anointing of healing for particular type of sicknesses. Like Joe Jordan is always good at healing back and bones. Roy Derman is especially good at death and dumb. F.F. Bosworth is especially good with death and dumb. If you look at Philip's ministry in Acts chapter 8, you will notice as an evangelist there was a particular type of healing that was more prominent than others. In Acts chapter 8, in the town of Samaria, it says, verse 7, unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many who were possessed, many who were paralyzed and lame. Do you notice a particular anointing in that area? Paralyzed and lame. It did not mention the blind. It did not just mention general healing. It says the paralyzed and the lame. But in Peter's life, there was a different anointing. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, so they brought the sick, that is general, out into the street, lay them on beds and couches, that the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on them. So it was a general kind of healing, sick people, all kinds of sicknesses. But in Philip's life, there seemed to be a particular emphasis on paralysis and the lame. Paralysis and the lame. And it seems that Captain Crewman's ministry, a lot of cancers and growths are healed. Madeline Hickey seems to carry a special anointing in praying for people with growth. And Higgin also seems to function in the area he says about himself. And so we notice there are gifts of healing. Another third reason I've given to you, why plural, is because sometimes people seem to specialize in a particular field of healing ministry. So I give three reasons why it's plural on both sides. So these three are all operating under what we call the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. The power gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then we come to the third category called the vocal gifts. These are much more simpler to understand. The vocal gifts, the first one and the foremost is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy, I define it as the supernatural utterance of God through a human vessel in a known language. That means a word from God spoken to comfort, edify, and exhort in the human language. If we are all English speaking, it comes in English. If we are all in India and everybody understands Tamil, it will have come in Indian language. So it comes in a known language to the people who hears it. That is called a prophecy, a gift of prophecy. Now the specific gift of prophecy does not reveal anything. It does not reveal like the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. It just edifies, exhorts. For example, the Lord could say, you know, I am the Lord that healeth thee, or I am the Lord and I'm here, fear not. So these are exhortations. These are called prophecies in a known language. God himself is fond of giving words of exhortation to his people. God himself gave words of exhortation to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, God keeps saying, be strong and of good courage. You notice how many times it repeated to him in Joshua chapter 1. It keeps on repeated to him. And then through the mouth of the people, it confirmed the same prophecy. Be strong and of good courage. Let's look at them, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. God says, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. only be strong and of good courage. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Now God is speaking Himself now. And God keep on giving a word of prophecy to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. You know, sometimes people need to hear that. People need to hear prophecy. It encourages them. Joshua needed to hear that because Moses had died, the one who he looked up to. He was now by himself with the Lord and the people of God. So God said, be strong and of good courage. That was a word of prophecy. Now look at the people saying the same thing back unto him. It says that Joshua faced the people and gave them commandment. And this is what the people answered in verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as you heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be, say that word, strong and of good courage. That's the same as the Jesus saying, be of good cheer. It's the same as the Lord saying, fear not, for I'm with you. See, there is a word of prophecy that the people gave corporately to Joshua. It's a word of prophecy. It can be given unto people. Now, the word of prophecy normally does not carry revelation. See, the person who speaks it, he only hears the word and speaks it forth. Sometimes to the people concerned is a revelation. See, Joshua has been speaking to the Lord. And the Lord spoke 3 times to him. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Nobody heard it but Joshua. So he's surprised when he came and faced the people. The people say the same word. What an encouragement. The people wouldn't know that the Lord had said that to Joshua. The people used the same words because it was the spirit of God on the people. And they said, be strong and of good courage. It must have stirred Joshua. He knew this is confirmation. Sometimes it operates that way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, regarding prophecy, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, the person who prophesies receives it in the known language, but you prophesy in part. You may not know the whole picture. The people did not know that God has spoken that to Joshua. Sometimes prophecy acts that way. God may use you to give a word of prophecy to say the same thing that God has said to the other person privately. See, we prophesy in part. We don't understand what we prophesy, but we heard it in the human language and we just gave it forth. God requires our obedience. We do not prophesy in whole. That's the difference. We prophesy in part. We only receive that part and prophesy. But as a whole church, when we come together and begin to prophesy together, we can form a whole. That is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says in verse 24-25, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is judged by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. See, when the church begins to prophesy one by one, so each part began to form, each part began to form, each part began to form. And it exactly confirms what God is speaking to that guy, a stranger, who could be in our midst, the person who says, God is in your midst. And this is what happened. See, the prophecy could come in many forms and many operations. It could come in song. The songs that are sung could be in a certain key. Then the message, it can come to the message also, part prophecy. And it could flow in a certain theme. And then the words of prophecy that come again the same theme. Then people know that it is the Holy Spirit that is orchestrating the whole thing. The whole symphony unto God. so that we all function as together in prophesying one by one. We all prophesy and give our little part. Now just imagine if one is disobedient, there's a break in the flow. How important, don't neglect the gift of prophecy. One of the simplest gifts to operate, gift of prophecy, is just inspire utterance, Satan. Again, it has many manifestations, many operations. The gift of prophecy could come to you, you could receive a word, just one sentence. And if you don't obey the sentence, the rest never comes. You could have just received, fear not, and then you look around, you know. And then the gift could operate in your life where there's a bubbling in your life. Bubble, 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 bubble. No, go back. And go bubble. Go back. And so you're struggling with the Holy Spirit having a time of war. And all the time the Holy Spirit wants you to prophesy. You never receive anything, the Holy Spirit bubble, wants to give something. And you say, go forth. You just, you know, you're not sure. And you receive a sentence. You say, no, like, I look like a fool. I look like a dum-dum. It's all right. Some of the best dum-dums are called sons of Dodo. Some of them are the mighty men of David. So we have there that all these people came to David and they became mighty men. So you just obey God in your area and you receive one word. And the word could be so simple. It could be that, you know, like one prophet that came at this time, they say, I want your heart and not your money. Simple. Any child could say that. And you turn around and argue with the Lord, God, please, Lord, what kind of sentence is this? I want your heart and not your money. Of course, everybody knows that. By the time you reason away with God, the anointing has left. God prefers to use somebody else who doesn't argue back. It's just like God is forming the pot. He's a master potter. It's forming. And when he's forming, he's going to form the pot this way. The pot says, no, not this way, this way. Have you ever heard the pot come back to the potter? That's what we do sometimes. The Lord wants to tell us to do something, we refuse. And so we don't move into the gift of prophecy. But when the brother moves forward and says, you know, oh, I want your heart and not your money. I want your heart and not your money. Oh, suddenly all the rest of prophecy flow the same direction. It leaves the same day. The same way that it should be a simple word that comforts, exhorts. Now notice, it never destroys, condemns. Anybody who claims to have that kind of word of prophecy that condemns and destroys is not operating in the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God will not, you know, say, oh, you are rascals! Oh, you rascals, rats, backslided buzzards! The fire of God will burn you! And when anyone hear that kind of prophecy, they come to church this way and go back. Every time they go to church, they get a fireball. They get burned, they get fleas, they get shaved. Worship. That is not what the word of God says. It says that prophecy comforts, exhorts, and edifies. It builds up, doesn't tear down. In the charismatic movement worldwide, there's a lot of abuse of prophecy. People use prophecy to control. It's completely wrong. Completely wrong. It's used to exalt Jesus. So take note of the gift of prophecy and the gift of speaking in tongues. The gift of speaking in tongues is the supernatural utterance given by God through a human vessel in an unknown language. That is, in prophecy, it was in a known language. Now it's in an unknown language. Notice it is God speaking to us in a human language. Whereas speaking in tongues and praying in tongues is we speaking to God in an unknown language. Now it's God speaking to us in an unknown language. The direction is different. Now, in God speaking to us, not everyone will have that gift. Not everyone has that gift. Some will have that gift and they will operate that way. So don't be surprised that sometimes the same people keep coming up to give the same because they operate in that gift. Instead of looking at them, you should ask, what is your gift? You should not sit down in a crowd and Sunday after Sunday, all you do is come, sing, bless, praise, hallelujah, dance a bit, you know, weep a little bit, and then enjoy the message, praise God, bless you, go home. And you never operated any gift when the opportunity was given to you. But yet, when you see other people operating, you sit down, here comes the same lady. Here comes the same brother. We're going to receive that prophecy again. And I think I know what that prophecy says also. So, we become very judgmental and we ourselves are not operating in it. It is like what I call easy to see but hard to do. You know, sometimes people look at the song leading and the worship on Sunday and they say, this worship like that. They make all kinds of comments. But the day when they themselves lead, it looks easy, but when you do it, it's not as easy as you thought. And to come up and obey God to give a word looks easy, but when you really come up, you see what happens. Not as easy as you think. It takes a certain obedience to obey God. And so that is a supernatural gift given by God. Again, the manifestation could be a bubbling from God. You receive a tongue that comes forth from God. And usually it's in a language. So you learn to operate the gifts of the Spirit gradually. Now sometimes as your first time you're new in the things of the Holy Spirit, it's okay. It's okay to make honest mistakes. We allow that in our church here. We allow honest mistakes. We won't crucify you. We do expect that we improve, but we do not expect perfection at first try. So we give room for all to grow. It's just like this statement that they passed in the Baptist seminary long ago. So they came out with this statement just before the giving the letter of fellowship. They came out with a public statement and said, there will be no further permission given in public and in private to speak in tongues. Private also cannot. I wonder who is going to be the KGB. And then we read that verse in 1 Corinthians to them, in 14. He said, the Bible says, forbid not to speak in tongues. We stood up, some of the students of charismatic stood up and challenged the statement and said, this is a seminary. We are studying God's word. We want to do things by the word of God. The Baptist doctrine says that we form all doctrines based on the scripture. Well, this is the scripture we read. In 1 Corinthians 14, forbid not to speak with tongues. Then we sat down. This is what the professor said. Well, we were not allowed to speak in tongues until everybody knows how to speak them. But the question is, if you don't allow it, how can people learn? Is it we only allow and everybody know how to do it properly? But how will we do it properly unless we given a chance to do it? It is a contradiction of words. Contradiction by itself. It's just like, you know, you track your child goes out and your child wants to learn driving. Your child wants to drive the car. And the child says, Dad, can I drive your car? He said, no, you cannot drive it until you learn to drive properly. How can they learn? They have to test out on a car. He said, no, test out on the other fellow's car. Bang it out, say, never mind. Cunning guy. So, there has to be a place where a person learns. Make honest mistakes. Remember, I said honest mistakes, not deliberate mistakes. Don't purposely drive a car and go on the wrong side of the road and go against a red light and you're breaking the law. Honestly say. So the first time you operate on this gift, you could come, you could be so excitable, you know, half fainting. and you're giving a property we could not even take. Whether you're giving a prophecy or a tongue, because it sounds the same. After some time, we found that it was a prophecy because you were giving in a human language, but in a very high key. Some octave that is just beyond the piano. And so you think, and you hear carefully, oh, okay, then you need the interpretation of the known language. So, it's alright, you make all these honest mistakes, but you learn. And the first time you flow in the anointing, it feels different. But after some time of flowing in the anointing of God, you begin to have the parable of the bathtub effect. It's called the parable of the bathtub. See, when you go into a bathtub and fill it with water, the first time you go into it, you feel the warmth. It's warm. But as you sit in the bathtub, your body temperature acclimatized to the temperature of the water, and you don't feel so hot as before. The water that you first touched and felt hot now was normal. So in the same way, the anointing is that way. You first flow in the anointing, I mean, it affects you. It causes all kinds of things to happen to you. While you're prophesying, you're shaking, you know. You're really shaking. You were a holy roller. And after some time you got used to the anointing of God, you could give it in no language. The first time you give it, you say, oh, the mountain, feel up, you know, and you really give it. And after some time, you got used to the anointing of God, it came out, and you were able to just say, the Lord says, fear not, be strong and of good courage. And you walk off. Improve. It takes time. But we have to give room to make honest mistakes. So then comes the other gift, which is called the interpretation of the tongue. Sometimes the interpretation can come to one sentence first, you don't receive the rest. Sometimes you can receive the whole gift of the message. Your operation may be different from mine. Remember, there are different operations for the same gift. I normally receive it as I hear the tongue, I start receiving the gist of the meaning. But another person may just receive the first line of the interpretation. Or they may receive a vision of the message that the person is speaking about. Or the person is speaking, they could see it. So there are many ways that the operation can come. You could discover new operations of the same gift of the Holy Spirit. So these are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then these 9 gifts form together in clusters to make a ministry. Like the fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they need to have certain gifts of the Spirit functioning to function in power in their calling, in the anointing that they are called. Like, for example, if a person is called to be an apostle, they need to have certain revelation gifts and certain power gifts functioning in their life. Because Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the sign of an apostle. And he talks about signs and wonders of an apostle in Romans chapter 15. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 onwards, he talks about revelation that is given to apostles and prophets. So apostles are supposed to have revelation gifts and power gifts. Prophets are supposed to have revelation gifts. Ephesians 3 talks about prophets, God has revealed something. Revelation gifts and vocal gifts. Vocal gifts functioning in their life. Constantly. That is a general apostle and prophet. And then we have the evangelist. The evangelist normally needs to have the power gift in their life. You see, Philip the evangelist, he is a worker of miracles. 1 Corinthians 12 lists the evangelist as a worker of miracles. There is an evangelist ministry. He works miracles. Power gift in some form or other. All so-called evangelists must move into the power gift before they really stand in a bona fide calling that God has on their life. You may have a call of God as apostle, prophet, evangelist, but you're not moving to that. That means it's not time for you to move into those ministries yet. You just be faithful in what God is training you under. See, many people try to jump into that kind of ministry before God calls him. Kenneth Hagin for 15 years only functioned as an evangelist. And only after 15 years in the ministry, God said, you will now function as a prophet. Isn't it amazing? See, God changed us. Now, part of the delay was because Hagin didn't understand about the things of the Spirit. And what we do was, by teaching this, is we can speed up the process of people's obedience. When you understand this, then you know which direction you can flow into. And so don't claim to be an evangelist, a prophet, or an apostle until those gifts manifest in your life strongly in those areas. And as far as a pastor is concerned, those who are called to be pastors must function in the power gift and in the worker gift. Excuse me, worker gift. Evangelists, especially in the power gift. Pastors in the worker gift, because you will see in 1 Corinthians 14 that the vocal gifts are the most prominent gifts when the church gathers together. And the pastoral ministry is where the base ministry is. You must be strong in the vocal gifts. That means prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then the fifth part of fivefold ministry is the teacher. Teacher is set in the body of Christ to build doctrine, to build truth. It's a fivefold calling, and that is open to the Spirit, whatever calling or area that God will put on your life. Some teachers have power gifts, some teachers have vocal gifts. But there are these specific areas that we have found in God's Word that need to be, that need to go together with the fivefold. And there are also all the nine body ministries that we're going to describe in detail. But all the nine body ministries are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, that we're going to describe in detail in lesson 9. But today I want you to notice in lesson 8 under section B of your note. Section B of your note, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It is called the ways of the Spirit of God. And we have listed how we need to train ourselves to differentiate between all these. The first is to understand the ways of the Spirit of God. That is to understand the inward witness in your life. All the gifts of the Spirit must work through your inward witness. Your inward witness is a key guide and test for the operation of all gifts. You cannot bypass it, you must always work through the inward witness. See, the inward witness is recorded for us in Romans chapter 8, where it says the Spirit of God bears witness to your spirit that you are sons of God. The inward witness is also mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, and it says, you have received an anointing within, an anointing that teaches you all things, an unction, an anointing, and it judges all things. So the anointing within you is an inward witness that will judge all manifestations. It's vitally important for us to realize the Spirit will not bypass the inward witness. If you receive a so-called thought or word that troubles your spirit, don't give it, because it is not flowing through your inward witness. If you receive a vision or a dream that troubles your inward witness, don't give it, because it is not flowing with your inward witness. Your inward witness is the test for all manifestations, the genuine from the false. See, Satan can imitate everything except the inward witness. Develop it in your life to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because when you yield unto God, every thought, every impression, every word, everything that you receive and hear becomes important.
we have to discern which are manifestations of the Spirit. Sometimes the wrong ones filter through for certain reasons. But it's not of God if it doesn't pass through the inward witness. Inward witness gives you peace, love, joy, rest in the Spirit. You notice when anyone functions in a genuine anointing, there's always something within you that reaches out also. There's something that confirms, there's something that gets blessed. When you sit under a ministry that something is wrong, you could pick it up straight away by your inward witness, something is wrong here. I sat under some ministries and my spirit has picked up something that were of the flesh or of the soul. I never speak this to anybody, but I kept it in private and pray for those people. And many times, after a year or two, it is proven right. See, the inward witness is vitally important. It's a test for all manifestations. It's a check given by the Holy Spirit into your life as an insurance and a safeguard against deception that the devil tries to bring in manifestation. Then the second point that we have here is the voice of the human spirit. To understand that the voice of the human spirit is not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. See, the manifestation of the human spirit cannot be used as a spiritual gift. It cannot. In Acts chapter 27, look at Acts chapter 27. Paul perceived by his human spirit danger in his voyage. And in verse 10, he says, "Man, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster." Now that was not a word of wisdom, but that was spiritual detection of danger. Notice the difference. That was something he received with his human spirit. He picked up danger. When you receive something with your human spirit, do not ever use "thus saith the Lord," because you will shame God's name. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when Paul was teaching, he mentioned in 1 Corinthians 7, it does not relate to today's subject, but I want you to see his style of teaching. He says in chapter 7, as he was giving advice about marriage counseling, concerning marriage counseling, he says in verse 10, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." So he says, this I'm writing here is the Lord telling you, not me. I'm telling also, but it's the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's "thus says the Lord." Then, in verse 12, he says, "But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say," and he gives some advice. So he says, now this part here, I am saying with my human spirit perceiving, but no, thus says the Lord. The reason why you cannot keep going around saying "thus says the Lord" is because you never give people a chance to grow. If I run this church by saying "thus says the Lord" and everything, nobody will grow. I will keep everybody baby. I'll be just giving orders around. You see, if I use a "thus says the Lord," there's no room for discussion. How can you discuss a "thus says the Lord"? The Lord already said, you know, Lord say, do this! And we're all discussing whether we must obey or not. Or did the Lord really say? How can we say that? So we don't run the church with a "thus says the Lord." There are certain times when the Lord said, "thus says the Lord." But if all our life the Lord keeps saying, "Thus says the Lord, go out today. Thus says the Lord, come back today. Thus says the Lord, do shopping now. Thus says the Lord, you can drink your tea now." You will be just a robot. You're robbed of your growth to be like God. And we cannot run people's lives and say, "Thus says the Lord, do this. Thus says the Lord, the Lord tell me you're going to do this. The Lord tell me you're going to do that. The Lord tell me you're going to do this. The Lord tell me you are the most dominating person in the world." But if you come across a strong guy and say, "The Lord told me to do this," say, "No, the Lord didn't tell me." That's when you got trouble. And what happens when you say, "That says the Lord, do this," and the other person says, "No, the Lord didn't say do this, the Lord said do that." You start a fight. What is happening, we must discern when it's our spirit, our human spirit. There are times when people ask me counsel in certain areas, and I have to tell them, I say, "This is what my spirit picked up to be the best. But there's no that says the Lord." When I say that, it means it can be further improved, and you may not need to follow it if you feel different about it. And in 1 year's time and later, if I receive more light, I may even contradict what I have just said. Which means that it's subject to further improvement, because we are all growing. So don't use "that says the Lord" lightly, please. Discern between the human spirit picking up and the Holy Spirit, which is number 3. The Holy Spirit saying. You see, 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, not your human spirit. Do you see that? 1 Corinthians 12. Manifestations of the Spirit, capital S. It's not manifestations of your human spirit. So Agabus in Acts 11, he says, "Thus saith the Holy Spirit." The Bible says he signified by the Spirit. And in Acts 21, Agabus came to Paul, took his belt and tied his hands and said, "Thus saith the Holy Spirit." See, we must know that there's a difference between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the human spirit. Many Christians can't differentiate. Do you know many Christians cannot differentiate between their soul and their spirit? And even more Christians cannot differentiate between the soul, their spirit, and the Holy Spirit. Say, "Brother, that is confusing." It is not. If you differentiate between the soul and the spirit, the differentiator is the Word. And the differentiating between your human spirit and the Holy Spirit is the anointing. See, every time the Holy Spirit speaks, there's an unction and an anointing. When your human spirit picks it up, it's just normal. But when there's an anointing upon, that's when the Holy Spirit usually manifests and speaks. And sometimes, where every time He speaks, even when there's no anointing, He brings an anointing to that place. There's an unction. So you can prophesy out of your own human spirit without a "Thus says the Lord" and put a "Thus says the Lord" there. You could not perceive and say that this guy, you know, he's just a bit fearful. So encourage him and say, "Thus says the Lord, fear not." You prophesy out of your human spirit. Do you know the difference? There is no unction. There's no anointing. But when the Holy Spirit comes, and you come forward and say, "Thus saith the Lord," every word you say carry an anointing that just rubs down on everyone in the congregation. See, the difference is the anointing. The difference between the human soul and the human spirit is the Word. Difference it. Difference between the human spirit and the Holy Spirit is the anointing. Anointing. There are times when the anointing is on me to prophesy, and I prophesy that "Thus says the Lord," but I don't do that all the time. If I do that all the time, I would move out of the anointing of God and begin to walk in the flesh, and I will be judged for that. So we always have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has stopped speaking and it's finished, so I say it's finished, I got nothing more from the Holy Spirit. The rest I can continue with the experience in a human spirit. So differentiating the three, this is how you operate. Right? We're going to a very practical aspect. In a service, all three function together. Your inward witness, the voice of your human spirit, and the Holy Spirit function together. Because the three are one. The three are one. The inward witness, your human spirit, and the Holy Spirit function one together. They never contradict. What the Holy Spirit says, my human spirit will bear witness. And my human spirit will agree. They function as one. 1 John is an important key. Let me read that verse too. First John chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, that is Jesus Christ, capital, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. If your Bible doesn't have that, it's time to change your Bible. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Now the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit on earth, His witness. The water refers to the Word of God. And the blood refers to the blood of the Lamb. But how it practically comes into being is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, when we were first cleansed, the blood of Jesus Christ awakened our inward witness, our conscience. The day that the blood of Jesus Christ washed you from all sins was the day that Romans 8 says, the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are son of the living God. So the blood made you a son of God. See, by the blood you became a son of God, a child of God. And by the blood, being a son of God, your inheritance as a son of God is the inward witness that tells you you're a son of God. Your inward witness. And your human spirit, the water, talk about the Word. The Word of God, it talks about how the Word of God gives us the new birth. How can they hear, accept that they are preached to, they hear, they're given the Word, the Gospel? So, how were you born again? You heard the Word of God. And we continue to have the Word of God. The washing, Jesus in Ephesians 5 is cleansing His church by the washing of water by His Word. What is the food of your human spirit? The Word of God. Men cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, your human spirit came forth through the Word of God. Jesus was the Word, capital. You were part of Jesus, a Word, small capital. In a sense, you can call yourself that. See, the Spirit of Christ came into your spirit, you got new spirit. So on the practical terms, it comes to this. Your inward witness, your human spirit, and the Holy Spirit will function as one together. They will never contradict each other. Never. Never. Always flowing together. When one part doesn't flow, something is wrong. There's a signal to you, something is wrong. Either the manifestation is wrong, or the receiving end is wrong. Something could be wrong. Sometimes it could be because you could be living in sin, or you're just filling your life with the ways of the world, or you're not prepared in the things of God, or you're trained wrongly in the things of God, and so you're not sensitive to your inward witness. Just like Hagin mentioned in his book Understanding the Anointing, how one day when he went to a person with a peculiar anointing, he felt that they were out and he was alright. In the end, at the end of the meeting, he felt that they were right and he was wrong, because he did not flow along and he did not prepare himself. See, and if we have lived our life in sin, and you come to an anointed meeting, you cannot stand right and wrong, because you yourself are wrong. It's just like someone wearing dark glasses trying to see the colors. You cannot, because your dark glasses are dark. You're tainted with the sin of the world, so you cannot see the actual colors as they are. You have to wash yourself first, remove your dark glasses, remove your sin, and then you could discern what is right and wrong. So it may be sometimes the manifestation that is wrong, sometimes could be your own life. If your own life is not right with God, people's life who are not right with God cannot stand the anointing. Every time they come under atmosphere anointing, they cannot stand it. Something just have to give way. And they will sometimes criticize the Holy Spirit, criticize the things of God. Things of the Spirit are foolishness to the carnal mind, in 1 Corinthians 2. So there could be a reflection on the criticizer. Or, excuse me, it's no such word, on the critic. Maybe the exact word. Not just on the one who is being accused. Having understood that, so in a meeting, for example, if it's a healing service, and if God's healing anointing begins to flow, and I can only talk within the realm of my experience, I cannot talk beyond, and it wouldn't be fair to you either and to myself, because then we'll be touched on other areas that we have not gone into. But for example, if it's a healing anointing, and if it's a word of knowledge operating, I may be receiving different impressions and may be receiving different signals all over from the Holy Spirit. I have to check within my spirit. For example, I could sense that a person is having a certain thing, or I could look at a person and begin to sense certain things. My spirit would witness whether my sensing is right. If, for example, there is I'm calling out for a person in a back row, right? Supposing I miss, and there's no such person. My mouth speak it out and I call it. Immediately my inward witness will check. There will be a stirring, like something gone wrong. Or sometimes it doesn't apply to me, sometimes it applies to people who prophesy. As I hear and flow with that spirit of prophesying, whether I'm a man of God or not, if something is wrong, my inward witness checks me. See, it's important to, the Holy Spirit wants to work, but He's working through my inward witness also. At the same time, I'm sensing His flow and His anointing. Then my human spirit flows in. My human spirit will sense the details sometimes. For example, the Holy Spirit may say, I could hear His voice. He says, I want to heal now. I could hear Him. How He wants to heal, in what way He wants to heal, my human spirit will have to work with the Holy Spirit. So we could call people forward to be healed, alright? Then, the Holy Spirit did not tell me to start on the left side or the right side or the center side. Center side. From the center. Left side, right side, or from the center. Do you know it's important to obey God when you're operating under anointing? And the Holy Spirit wants to bring a healing anointing. If He wants me to start from the left side praying and I start on the right side, the anointing won't manifest. Simple things like that are very important to Him. And if He doesn't want to start healing yet and I go ahead and start, nothing happens. See, we are doing the anointing, we're not doing by faith. By faith, you can do any side lah. left side, right side, put your leg there also. I mean, by faith, if they believe that they will be healed when you lay your legs on them, then they receive. Right, when you're moving and anointing, all this precision must come in. And so my human spirit would sense. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell me sometimes from what side, sometimes He does. And so I could sense, Lord, you want me to go to the left side? Then the Holy Spirit, my human spirit tells me, go on the left side, okay? Go on the left side. So I go there and wait. My human spirit told me to do that. My human spirit received all the instructions from the Holy Spirit. See, you are not a robot. The Holy Spirit doesn't control you. Turn left. Turn right. Turn left. He doesn't control you that way. He wants you to be a normal human being. So my human, he works through my human spirit. Human spirit says, turn left. Okay, turn left. My human spirit. Sometimes when I'm there, the Holy Spirit begins to function. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, this person has this. That's the Holy Spirit. And then sometimes when I'm there, sometimes I receive a word from the Holy Spirit. That's when I prophesy. You will notice I don't prophesy all the time. And the Holy Spirit says something there. I say, that says the Lord. This is that. You just give it to them. So Holy Spirit. So in any service, your inward witness, your human spirit, and your Holy Spirit have to work together along. And whatever gifts of the Holy Spirit you work in, remember, you could work to perfect the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. The gifts are perfect all the time. I'm not saying the gifts are not perfect, but I'm saying that flowing out through you need to be perfected. Proof of it, you see in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said that the gifts must operate with love so that it's perfect. It edifies. So that tells us that the operation and the releasing of the gifts to our life can be improved. The gifts themselves are perfect from God. But flowing out through our life, they are imperfect because we are imperfect. And so what happened was when the first time I received the word of knowledge from God, that I did not understand the operation of God. So I was preaching away, and as a ministry, I began to sense all kinds of signals. Now that is one of the ways that He manifests. Now I learned that is not the only way He manifests, and I learned to move into other areas. But while I was preaching, I was healthy, not a sickness on my body. And I began to sense backache, headache lah, this pain here, that pain. I was here busy preaching the word. So I say, you know, this devil trying to be funny. And I continue preaching, and then all these things keep coming to me. And in the end, you know, I always say, no, get it behind me, devil. And one day the Holy Spirit, that's me, rebuking. And say, oh, sorry, dear Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit began to show me that He was trying to show me the sicknesses that people were having. Now remember, if you yourself are sick, you cannot do it. If you yourself are having a headache or a backache, you say, somebody have a backache. It's not somebody, somebody's you. You have to be healthy to do it. You yourself have some condition, this condition there, all kinds of conditions in your body. You yourself are suffering from all kinds of pain. How can the Holy Spirit use it in that way? And so, I found out later that when I call those people out, call those sicknesses, that exactly those people suffer those symptoms, they would come forth. So I realized that there is a word of knowledge operating through that way. But then I began to talk to the Holy Spirit and said that, if there were 1,000 people, and there were 2,000 people, and there were 5,000 people, and I say, somebody has a backache. Of course somebody has a backache. 5,000 people, sure somebody has a backache. So I said, that doesn't bring much glory to you. Say, what about telling me more details? And then the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, and said, that's your problem, not mine. I say, wow, my problem. Say, yes, is your the receiving end not clear enough? Not the giving end. God is giving good instruction. So I began to tune to that. So sometimes preachers begin to move into that area. They begin to move to receive a word of knowledge, but they remain in a general realm. That's what I mean, general. Never move more into specific. Somebody has a backache. And then about 20 somebody's come. Somebody headache lah. Then somebody came lah. So that is quite general. And then the Holy Spirit began to teach me. These are ways where you learn to operate, the operation. He says, you will realize that in a radio, when you receive a radio signal, when you turn a radio in a certain direction, the signal weakens and gets stronger. Isn't that right? So the Holy Spirit began to tell me that I become a receiving station, and so if He's using my whole being and body, the direction I face and when the signal comes is important. So I began to realize, oh, it's coming from certain directions. So alright, I could pick up certain directions now. So He said, watch Catherine Kuhlman. So I watched and I read her books, and I found that sometimes she'll be here, there, you know. And then I began to realize what she was doing was she was receiving directions from the Holy Spirit. She not only received what a person was going through, she knew the exact position. So she was positioning. Do you know that if you illegally use a transmitter, the government could find you out because they need just two receivers. And to two receivers, they could see where it crosses. That will be where you're transmitting from. Right? So that is, you widen your receivers. And then sometimes I could face here, I pick it up coming from this side. I don't know how it works, but it just works that way. So I know it comes from a certain direction. But then that's not specific enough. And the Holy Spirit sometimes say that works with a different operation. So it works, for example, with a vision and His voice coming to me. So He will whisper, this is a girl, or this is a man, this is a young man, or old man, how old is the person? So He begins to whisper. So I began to tune to the listening end also and become more specific. So it's important. I'm only talking about one gift, and all the gifts are that way. Example, you could be used by God to prophesy. You could just be used by God to give one word. But as you give that one word, it becomes more. And sometimes you receive a word of knowledge, you don't receive anything yet. God demands that you go by faith. Word of knowledge, example. Word of knowledge, sometimes all I have is just the type of sickness. I don't have any directions yet. But I obey God and give it first. A backache. Jesus wants to heal the backache. As I speak it out, as I obey God in one, then He begins to tell me, then the rest of the details come. Begin to say, oh, is a man or is a woman, or what color shirt, dress they're wearing, how old they are, where they are sitting, and sometimes give their name also. So if you obey one, He gives you some more. And the same way in prophecy, now this is how prophecy sometimes functions. For example, a prophet prophesying, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, they're going to prophesy. Sometimes a prophet who functions may not have a word yet for anybody. But yet their function is to give word to people. Confirmation. So what they do, their detector works differently. So sometimes they look around. So they sense, oh, they got the word for such and such a person. So they will call such and such a person forward. When the person is walking forward, they got no word yet. See, they got no word from the Lord yet. But as the person come forward, their inward witness confirmed they got hit the right target. And the human spirit say, that's it. And the human spirit say, I want you to stand far away from them or lay hands on them. What to do, all the details. And then they wait for the Holy Spirit. Your human spirit will get in the position. And then ready. Your inward witness get in the position, all waiting for the commander, the Holy Spirit. Then when He confirms that He wants to give a word, you're in the right, everything in the right position, the person is standing there, then the word comes forth. And the word may just come forth in a vision, may just come forth one word. You obey God, the rest comes out. That's how you operate. And sometimes, in a simple gift of prophecy, God, in a congregation, asks you to come up. He may just give you a word. If you obey that word, you will receive many other sentences and passages of the sentences. But don't go too long-winded. No, sometimes people prophesy and the Holy Spirit stop prophesying, they continue prophesying. You obey God with one word, He gives you some more. All the gifts operate that way. In the same way, the working of miracles, the gift of faith. Listen very carefully. The gift of faith, very important. If God tells you to spit on a person, you must make sure you don't miss. You may receive for your spit.